نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم. As part of the various ayat that we recited between yesterday and today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He has created many, many different things and many different signs. He has created us from sand. He has created us, and one of His greatest signs are that each one, generally for the most part, will find a partner. And the idea of finding a partner is so that you can live in tranquility, have love, and the mercy of Allah come between both of you. Also part of His signs, all these ayahs are subject, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقُ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ تَقُومَ السَّمَاءُ. All these ayahs are saying, also from the great signs of Allah, He's created the skies, the earth, also gave us the ability to talk in multiple languages. He has created the change between day and night. He has created various things out there, too many to be mentioned here. However, Allah is saying, these few that I'm mentioning is so that you'll reflect upon My greatness and understand that in all the various signs of Allah, whether it's the mind, the human body, the earth, the sky, everything, in each of these things you will find My greatness. And in each of these things, if you reflect upon, inshallah, they will build your iman and make you a stronger person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talks about, again, riba, وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِبَا لِيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاةٍ تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُضْعِفُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talks again against the negativity of riba. And we never understood the negativity of riba until recent times, when we saw all these crises coming in the late 90s and in the early part of the century. We realized that individuals that deal in riba, generally they get hurt, and the system that is taking the riba from them, whether it's the banks, whether it's individuals, they are the ones for the most part that are benefiting. And Allah in the various ayat of the Quran say, understand full well, riba will hurt you. By contrast, you giving in the path of Allah, you giving to those that are needy, in essence you may think you are losing out, but in reality you are gaining. On contrast, when riba is concerned, you are giving extra money, you are thinking you are gaining, but in reality you are not gaining, you are losing in this world, also in the hereafter. Examine the lives of people that are involved in riba. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the Quran says on the day of Qiyamah, people that are dealing in it, they will be touched by a sense of madness. Now, that's in the day of Qiyamah. In this world, you will realize this is not a curse. This is what Allah has made mention and Rasulullah has made mention, that in this world, individuals that deal in riba, you will notice they have a lot of sickness. If they don't have a lot of sickness that comes their way, they have a lot of family issues, they have a lot of social problems, there is sometimes blatant cheating in the family, etc., etc. This is the beginning sign that this is a taste of what's happening with your haram dealings. What's going to happen in the later on the day of Qiyamah? So this is not Allah's way of putting us down. This is Allah's way of telling us, insan, reflect upon your finances, because your finances are those things that make you buy things that you will put into your mouth and as well as into the mouth of your children and the mouth of the next generation. Haq and batil cannot go hand in hand, is what Allah is saying. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also makes mention later on, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ, that you'll see corruption in the waters, you'll see corruption in the earth, you'll see corruptions in all the various places out there. Suffice to say, these are not just things that are just happening. Corruption doesn't just take place. People don't just get hurt. Violence doesn't just happen. There is something, aidinna, something you are doing. There are some contracts that you are signing. There are some deals that you are part of that's affecting now the tapestry that goes upwards. Overnight you don't just get crime. Overnight you don't just get destruction. Something your hands have done, meaning not just each individual's hand, something our grandparents' generation have done, they didn't put right. Then our parents' generation has come, they didn't put things right. And each step, it's compounding and compounding and compounding. That's what it says, aid in nas. Many people say, well, I didn't do anything wrong. Nobody is saying you alone. Nobody is saying me alone. But as a group, we have contributed. So Allah is saying, now that you are in trouble, why? لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّمْ يَرْجِعُونَ So you may taste. For some countries suffer insecurity. Some countries, like for example, I come from South Africa. We know what's happening there. The killing rate is very, very great. Death rate is one of the highest in the world. Very, very insecure. Why did this happen? Yesterday we spoke about Abu al-Hasan Nadwi. He visited many countries in the world. One country out of the few countries that he didn't visit was South Africa. Why did he not visit South Africa? Anybody knows? Not restriction on travel. Now we're having restriction on travel. Forget back then. Because South Africa had apartheid. They had a segregation between black and white. This is what you call a man of principle. A man of principle. What he said, if that place is involved in this wrong, I'm not going to be part of that given country. If they are doing wrong, I'm not going to be part of them whatsoever. This is what we call a man of dignity and a man of honor. If somebody else gives us the free ticket, we start showing up to our friends. Alhamdulillah, I got a ticket, I'm going next week. We don't understand the consequences of what we are supporting when we are going there. So, South Africa, for example, has a lot of crime. They have a lot of murder. Why do they have it? Why are they tasting this level of downwardness, if you want to call it? Because back then, the great-grandfather's generation did not say segregation is wrong. Dividing people is wrong. When I say grandparents, I mean as a whole, the generation didn't stand for justice. Now they are paying the price for it. And this can be evaluated on a various country level. Not only South Africa, other parts of Africa, other parts of the world as well. So the Quran is saying, you did not put things right. As a consequence of that, now you are going to taste the pain of that which you have created. Also, next ayah says, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ And many ayahs says, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ This ayah is a lesson. This ayah is saying us the following in essence. Go and examine and visit the world. Number one. Number two, there may come a time when you will have problems in your location, in your area. There is no need for you to be grieving about it. The earth of Allah is vast. As one person used to say, one of our teachers, if the sun is striking on your face, don't sit there and let it sit there and strike on your face. And then later say, I got cancer, my skin is like leather, etc., etc., you got burnt up. No, if the sun is striking on your face, then you move away. Same thing the Quran is saying. If things get difficult for you in a certain place, then you move. Tell your family, teach your children from a young age that Allah will provide and Allah will give. There is no such thing as, I have nobody in the area now, why must I move over there? Our duty as Muslims is one, go to a place, earn a halal livelihood, become a good example to the people and live and leave behind a legacy. A legacy is not leaving 100 grandchildren behind. A legacy is not having 10 kids. A legacy, again, come to Abu al-Hasan Nadwi. Simple example, he had no children. Ashraf Ali Thanvi, he did not have children, and many, many others. Yet the legacy they left behind, I can have 1,000 grandchildren, I can tell you from now. I don't know if it's a curse or a blessing now, but regardless, I don't think they will be able to accomplish what either one of these individuals had been able to accomplish in their life. Forget this idea, I have to have children, I have to have this, I have to have that. What you have to have is the following. Good values, good morals, and leave a legacy of haq behind. And if that's what you left behind, that's what inshallah they will remember you and I for. Of course, thereafter we covered many different ayah. There is a surah called Surah Luqman. And also we covered another name of another individual. The other one was Sahabi, Zayd radiallahu ta'ala. In the Quran you see names of prophets. The only two prophets' names that are not mentioned directly is Luqman alayhi salam and Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, both of whom were of Abyssinian descent from Habash, of black history. So Black History Month, we get excited in America when you go to school that this band is Black History Month. Our religion did it over 1400 years ago. It brought about the recognition of individuals that for the most part were not recognized in many parts of the world. Then many people say, how does Islam allow slavery? You missed the whole point. Say slavery was already in place. Islam didn't just say, I'm doing away with slavery. What did Islam say? It brought about an incentive.
If you let go of a slave, your reward will be this. If you let go of a slave, your reward will be that, etc., etc. So we learn something very powerful about Allah and Rasul and the Quran, that Islam brought about change in a way of wisdom. And as far as Luqman alayhi salam is concerned, he was a very good and a very important individual, based of course on his piety. There is general consensus that he wasn't a prophet, and the consensus is he was a very pious man. And basically this is what comes regarding him. He says, and it is stated, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Again, Islam is a very clear religion. What you do, what you earn, that's all you get. If you do good, the good is for yourself. And if you do bad, in other words, it's for yourself. And as far as Allah is concerned, He does not need any individual. He is ghani. He is independent in its fullest sense. Then after He gives advice, oh my beloved son, first advice He gives, La tushrik billah. Do not take part in ascribing parties to Allah. Do not take part in making sajda to your mother and father. As I told you all before, there was one guy, very, very well educated Muslim fellow. Parents who come from overseas, he's part of the cultures out there, some cultures are. When the mother comes from the airplane and makes it forward, the child will automatically drop all the way down to the ground. That is not part of Islam. That is part of shirk. And Islam is against that. There were religions in the past that did it. Islam brought an end to it. So number one, oh my son, don't commit shirk. Don't go to grave worship. Don't do things that are wrong in nature. Don't attribute to Rasulullah something that is not present in him. For example, don't say things like, he is everywhere at one point. Only Allah is everywhere at one point. And Rasulullah is where Rasulullah is. Yes. We also read the ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَةَ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. As far as Allah is concerned, Allah, يُصَلُّونَ is for dawa'im, is for continuity. Allah is sending salutations all the time, يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. So, oh you who believe, Allah is sending, the malaika is sending. So, oh you who believe, if you send in reality, it won't change the greatness of Allah or Rasulullah. In fact, it is only to benefit you at all. So we have to understand that if we play with these words the wrong way, we end up committing shirk at time. So, oh my son, don't commit shirk. Thereafter he says, oh my son, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. The word, according to some, is linked to the advice as well. There are different opinions on this. Basically, he says, as far as your mother is concerned, she carried you for a long time. So it is your duty now to be good to your mother, be kind to your mother, be kind to your father, and the sacrifice they have made for you. Be obedient to them, be good to them. If they are not good to you, it doesn't give you the right to be mean to them as well. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. And also these various ayahs say the following, يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِنْ تَكُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ. Oh my beloved son, in essence, you cannot hide from Allah. As our Jamaat brothers clearly say very well, on a dark night, there is a dark rock. In that dark rock, there is an ant that is moving. You and I may not know of it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of that rock, and not aware of that rock only. He's aware of it, and He also sustains that rock, even though you and I do not even understand where that given ant may be in that given rock. And oh my beloved son, aqim as-salah, establish salah, command good, abstain from evil, wasbir ala ma asabak. Anything that comes your way, oh my beloved son, understand that it is from Allah, and therefore you must be patient upon it on every level. Thereafter Allah SWT gives advice to Rasulullah ﷺ, which he shares to his wives. And the advice is the following, O my beloved wives, Rasulullah is saying, Ya Nisa al-Nabi, O wives of the Prophet, if perchance, I mean Allah is not joking here in the slightest bit, not that to say Allah jokes at all, but Allah is making a severe point. If your wives perchance take part in any wrongful act, for the record, we have to understand, no prophet ever married a disbeliever. The wife later on may have done something wrong, but no prophet went to a woman in any intimate relationship while she was in the state of kufr. There is consensus on that. Having said that, all the women of the wives of all the prophets, especially our Prophet ﷺ, definitely we know for a fact they were pure and good in nature, no doubt. But Allah is saying, perchance, if you women do anything that is immoral in nature, يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ ضِعْفَيْنِ, not you will get a punishment, your punishment will be compounded and double and triple and quadruple in nature. So Allah is saying a message to us in essence, that if this is what I'm telling to the woman I love, then understand, my beloved daughters, if you are immodest, what's going to happen to you? My sisters, our mothers, our grandparents, our grandchildren to be, if this is what Allah is advising the wives of the Prophet, then we have to understand, we have to take pride in how we present our sons and primarily our daughters in public. Thereafter the Quran says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجَنَّ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى وَأَقِمْنَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِعْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. That as far as women are concerned, it is best. Qard means that which is a horn that is hooked to the head of something. Qard is not just a horn that is sitting like those flowers over there. It is something that is linked. So the ulama say, waqar actually means glue yourself, O woman, to your home as best as you can. So when you need to leave, you would leave. Now unfortunately, many women are of the opinion, because they wear a scarf or because they dress in the religious way, they are given the liberty to go wherever they want, however they want, because of course they are covered up, etc. That's not what this ayah is talking about. The ayah is saying, it doesn't matter whether you dress well or not. Dressing well, you have to do it for your benefit. But it's saying over here, leave your houses as least as possible. And I'll tell you why. Today you leave your house for 1 hour a day. What is your daughter looking at? She's going to leave for 5 hours a day. And when you see your grandchildren, may Allah protect them, 10 hours a day. And by the time they come to the great-grandchildren, they're hanging out in wrong places all entire night. May Allah protect our grandchildren and our children. But if we see there is a pattern that is taking place in our society and all societies of the world. So the Quran is saying, if you need to go out, go out. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَى. But don't become like the people of the past, the giants of the past, where they will prance around without much respect for themselves and do as they please. Every individual they'll see there, they make salam to them, talk to them, and act in a manner of disrepute. And your solution, O woman, وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ, establish salah. Allah is not asking a lot from you. وَآتِينَ الزَّكَاةَ, and give your zakah. It didn't say make someone else pay your zakah for your gold. Of course, if someone else is kind, by all means, they should pay it. There is no harm in men paying it. Men should pay it for their wives. They are doing a lot for you. But if Allah has given you the heart to give, by all means, our woman should be held accountable to that, because Allah is holding them accountable for that as well. وَأَطِعْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And also it is your duty to be obedient to Allah and Rasulullah. Why? إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Because Allah wants you to move that rizq, that gandagi, that evil, that impurity, like pus, blood, all these are considered impurities. Likewise, Allah is giving you this advice because Allah wants you to remove all the impurities that exist around you, etc. Of course, there are many more ayah, and I will end up with this. Innal muslimin wal muslimat wal mu'minin wal mu'minat. Whenever I read this ayah, always some kid will come to the next surah and say, can you read that rhyming ayah? Muslimin, muslimat, mu'minin, mu'minat, God. The kids love this ayah. But it's not just an ayah to sort of create a rhyme. Allah is proving a point. He's addressing believing men and believing women. In each word, believing man, believing woman. Mu'min man, mu'min woman. Obedient man, obedient woman. Charitable man, charitable woman. Truthful man, truthful woman. The one that fears Allah from the men, the one that fears Allah from the woman. The one that fasts from the men, the one that fasts from the woman. And also, Allah is saying at the end of this ayah, protect your private parts, protect your organs from that which is haram. Men and women. And remember Allah in abundance. So why does Allah talk about men and women here side by side? Allah is passing a point. Everywhere in the Quran, I can't keep on saying, oh men, oh women, oh young one, oh old one. That's not the system of Allah. Sometimes Allah addresses men because men have more of a predisposition for something. Sometimes Allah says, for example, لا يسترخوه من قوم عسى. Some places Allah SWT addresses directly a woman first. Why? Because women have a tendency to do certain things. It doesn't mean men won't do it. The point is, when Allah addresses men or man, as in the male gender, Allah is saying, this may be in your control, but there may be also women that are doing it, and they must observe. And likewise, when I address women, it doesn't mean men are not doing it. Men may also be doing it, they must also take notice as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in learning from these few ayah. And again, I'll translate one ayah that I translated again one more time. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. This is the ayah that we love. This is the ayah that I've seen people get hurt over. There are some imams that say, no, I'm not going to read this to teach the people a lesson. Because when they read this, everybody in the back says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So some imams, to teach people a lesson, they say, we're not going to read it. And we want people to do it on their own. And some imams, for doing this, they got a beating of their life from the people. But there are some people that read this ayah for whatever purpose, they read it for certain superstitious reasons. Now my question is, if you love Rasulullah, why would you beat somebody for not reading it because they have a reason? I don't know what type of love these individuals have. But the ayah is saying the following. Allah is sending salutations to Rasulullah. The malaika are appointed to send salutations all the time. So, O you who believe, make amal on this ayah, and you too send salutations upon Rasulullah. The ulama are unanimous. By reading and sending salutations upon Rasulullah, it creates softness of the heart. And we all can use a little bit of that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in sending salutation to our Rasulullah, following him, following the footsteps of his family, and making our families the very best, like the family of Rasulullah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid.